But this is one of my favorite messages, and that is, and I've given it the title, In Pursuit of Excellence. Living a life of excellence. And for those of you not familiar, there is an outline in your bulletin. If you'll take it out and kind of follow that, it kind of helps you to be able to see what we're doing, and it just gives you a good way to be able to look at it or to be able to follow. I'm told that there is a sign hanging in the locker room of the Phoenix Sun professional basketball team that says, "There's a game tonight. Why don't we just go out and win it?" Well, this morning I'd like for you to consider your life in the same vein. There's a meaningful and a purposeful life for you to live. Why don't you just go out and live it to the fullest?
Amen.
And that capsulizes what we're going to be sharing with you here today. And that is, I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to ask you, there's a great life out there for you to live. Why don't you just go ahead and live it?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, the word excellence is derived from the word excel. Wonder if that's where Microsoft got that. Which means to go beyond average. Something in which excel is excellent. Excellence, one person said, is taking every assignment seriously for the glory of God.
Yeah.
That means everything that God has called us to do to the glory of God. What I'm proposing is less for you and me is that we pursue a life of excellence. Now, that does not come easy. There are hindrances to us living and pursuing a life of excellence. Actually, I've categorized three of them. One being the influence of the world and the things of the world. We live in the world. And so the influence of the world that it has on us can pull us away from being living a life of excellence as far as God is concerned. And of course, Satan is the mastermind of all destruction, and that presents us with a hindrance. And then lastly, our own personal attitudes can make it difficult for us to live a life of excellence because of self-centeredness, because of our own personal agendas, because of pride and those kind of things. So having said that, though, if we recognize that those are the three areas that can keep us from living the greatest life possible, then we're at least smart enough to know what they represent. Now let me also say to you, God's plan for every one of you, and I'm saying this collectively, but I want you to be able to understand it individually and receive what I'm about to say individually. And that is, God's life for you is bigger, His plan for you is bigger and better than it is today.
Amen.
Every one of you.
Yes.
I don't care whether you're 16, 60, or I started to say 600, but I don't suppose that would fit anybody in here. You know, I don't know how far you can go with those things. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of what your situation is, how well off you are, or how difficult your life might be at this particular time, God has plans for you for something bigger and better than you are today.
Amen.
He has a plan for you that goes beyond your wildest imagination because He's a great big God. So, as we think about God as a God of increase, He has a desire for you to have the very best in life, but you must prepare for that excellence starting today. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what difficulties. I don't care what kind of great things that have happened in your life and maybe even what great accomplishments you've had. I'm here to tell you today that you still have a greater life if you'll prepare for it and allow it to happen. Why do you think Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh? Why, so that, and have some of the best teachers in the world. One of the reasons was that God was preparing him for the day when he would lead 3 million plus Hebrews out of the land of Egypt into the promised land.
Yes.
He was preparing them. But let's go a step further. You know, that sounds rather exalting, but let's go a step further. Why do you think God had him to go to the backside of the desert? Because there he could teach him some things like pride, humility, and how you can live without the luxuries of life, and how they aren't necessarily have to have them. He was teaching him some things back there. So you see, even going through what may be some difficult times, God will take every negative situation and make it good if you'll hold on to his unchanging hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Then there came the day when God said, "Okay, Moses, it's time for you to do what you've been called to do. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." My, my. That was quite a calling that God placed on him. But you know what? God had been preparing him for this position all this time. But here's what's interesting to me, and that is every person sitting under the sound of my voice that is a believer in Christ Jesus, that believes and have accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior, every person has a calling on their life. Now, it may take some preparation, it may take some time, but there will be a time when they will step into God's plan and purpose for their life.
Amen.
Now, when we use the term excellence, or we sometimes we think of maybe exaltation or exalting people, but excellence is not always manifested up in front of people. I shared with you some of the people that were here this morning, that they work behind the scenes, but yet they give a life of excellence in what they're doing. Excellence is not always manifested by the books we write. Excellence is not always manifested by being on TBN or the 700 Club. Excellence starts in the trenches ministering for the Lord. That's where it all begins. But this I know, Proverbs 18:6 says this, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." What I'm encouraging you to do today is to become a part of ministry. Now, yes, it's true. You can minister by patting somebody on the back, encouraging them, shaking their hands, and taking them a meal, that type of thing. And that's ministry. And I'm not trying to belittle that because it's important. But I'm also wanting to encourage you to be able to get involved with an organized ministry, because where you group together with other people, then you can be so much more effective for the kingdom of God. And also, there may be those of you today who have started on the road of maybe quitting alcohol and have slipped. But God's saying to you today, come on, you can make it. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that you're a failure. You know what? If you will allow God to do it, he will prepare you for something great in this life. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I want you to remember the man in the Bible that beat and killed Christians. He was incarcerated and involved with all kinds of mob activities. He probably would not qualify for most of our church's membership today. But that same individual, Paul, wrote about a third of the New Testament because he was a man that pursued excellence in this life.
Yes,
and you can too.
Amen.
Now it all begins. It all begins in the spirit, like we talk about. And that is having spiritual excellence. In the book of Daniel, Daniel the 6th chapter in the 3rd verse, it says this: "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now, Daniel was a man that was spiritually that was spiritually in tune with God. The Bible says that he prayed and gave thanks and praises to God three times a day. Now, this is what the Bible records. But I'm sure that as a man, that he may have even prayed and gave thanks to God more than that. But that was his schedule to do it. Daniel did not waver. Even when he was falsely accused, he stood firm in his belief. He developed a strong faith in his God, and he stood by his godly principles, and he was a man of character. Yes. Then when the test came, that was when he was thrown into the lion's den, he was prepared, he was ready, and God performed a miracle, and he shut the mouths of the lion, and they couldn't do anything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know why? Because he had an excellent spirit. He had prepared himself. He had prepared himself so that he could be ready for the test.
Yeah.
Now, excellence, when we talk about excellence, it's not an event. It's not a one-time process. It is a lifetime process. It is a time of preparing. Now, Paul often compared spiritual maturity and this process, often compared it to the Christian life as the same way that athletes stay in shape. The Phillips paraphrase of 1 Timothy 4:7 says this: take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. The path to spiritual fitness is as practical as the path is to physical fitness. Become mature in Christ is a journey. Despite our wish to speed up the process, spiritual growth is a journey that you and I will enjoy for a lifetime. It takes time. It takes discipline. Oh, by the way, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. So this is all a part of it. It's a discipline. Now, when I use this word, sometimes people say, well, I've tried to do that and I just haven't been able to do it. Does that mean that you can't do it? No, it doesn't. Because discipline means that you get right back up and you get back in the race and you run that race again and you win. If you keep getting up and you keep pursuing excellence, you will achieve your goal.
Amen.
Every one of us, not everyone, but some people say, well, they just have a gift for that, and they can just do that. No, all they've done is they have prepared and disciplined themselves. You discipline yourselves in the little things, and the next thing you know, you'll discipline yourselves a little bit greater and more until you become living a life of excellence. Every one of you can do it.
Yes.
What separates the excellent from the mediocre? Ken Crockett says, working with the same passion at what you do not like to do as what you like to do. Ooh, me too. That kind of bit me when I read that. There's some things I don't like to do. I thought I'd get an amen from Janet on that. I'm writing it down. Next time, Janet, give me an amen. Don't write it down. But if we pursue those things we don't like to do with the same passion that we do those things that we do like to do, like watch football, then it's moving us to a life of excellence. Folks, God's calling his people to live a life of excellence. God's calling it. Paul expressed it this way: I have not arrived, nor am I perfect, but I press on to obtain what Christ gave me. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. For some of you, it's time to forget the past.
Amen.
For some of you, the very thing that's keeping you from living a life of excellence is that memory you have of the mistakes that you've made.
Yes.
And the wrong things you've done.
Yes.
and the horrible things that's happened to you and how you've been hurt, how you've been disappointed, it's time to lay aside those things, forget them, and press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen? I want to stop there for just a moment. I feel impressed. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you have struggled, with dealing with your past in whatever manner it may be, I want to pray for you right now. I want to break that chain against you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, there are those that are here today that are struggling with the problems and the disappointments and the hurts of the past. I break that. I break that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I come into agreement that from this day forward, that spirit will not attack them again. I break it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want to speak a word to you here. That spirit is broken over your life spiritually. If you allow it to come back by thinking about it and allowing it to come up in your thought life, that spirit will come back on you. Hear me. Hear me. Who's that sound like? Pastor Miller. Hear me.
Hear me now.
Hear me now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritually, that's broken. The only way it's going to come back on you and bother you again is if you meditate on it and begin thinking about it and allow it to. You keep those thoughts out of your life. You take authority over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I just encourage you today to forget those things. Make a covenant with God today to pursue and to grow and to press forward to the heavenward calling of our Lord. Then there's emotional excellence. Philippians 2:5 in the NIV says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a bad hair day? Have you ever had a day when the kids were sick and the car was broke down, the dog run off, and you got a cutoff notice on your utilities? What happened to your emotions when that happened? Your attitude will control your thinking. Your thinking will control your feelings. And your feelings will control your talking. And your talking will control your behavior. Yeah. If we have the same attitude that Christ has, your behavior is the fruit of living a life of excellence.
Amen.
It means we think like Christ. We meditate on things which are pure, lovely, good report. Yes. We talk like Christ. And we will, and that will give us the life of excellence that we will enjoy, and we'll have no more bad hair days. Hallelujah on that.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I've learned in married life, and that is the appointment with the hair place is important. Right here is where the battle is either won or lost. Right here is where the battle is either won or lost. What you think on, what you meditate on, what you allow yourself to think on. There are those of you that have been treated unfairly. There are those of you that have been treated unfairly by your spouses, by your families, by your schools, by organizations, and even churches. In the natural, you may have every right to have a cynical, questionable, skeptical attitude. But you will never achieve emotional healing until you forgive and forget those things.
Amen.
That's a tough thing to say. But it is the most powerful thing that I can say to you today. Only when you begin the process of forgiveness that you will be able to overcome the emotional deficiency in your life. 3 John 1:2 said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." All things start in the mind. They tell me that the word soul here is translated means the very seat of your emotions and your desires. But John is praying for you to prosper emotionally. God wants you to feel good even in the midst of a turmoil. See, that's the peace of God that we can have as believers, is that we can be at peace in the midst of turmoil. Then I want to talk to you for just a moment about relational excellence. Relationships can be the greatest blessing or the greatest pain. Let's get honest. We're here, we're going to meet the road right here. I would dare say that most of us sitting here today have experienced both of those greatest. The greatest of difficulties and yet the greatest of relationships. But folks, Christians need relationships to grow. We do not grow in isolation. We grow as a result of being in a family-like environment. This is the reason that we talk about the church being a family, and you're a part of a family, and that is because we grow. And the disciple John tells us that the proof that we're walking in the light is that we have fellowship one with another. Pastor Mark touched on that in his this morning in communion. We have fellowship one with another. And then John went on to say, "We know that we passed from death unto life because we love our brother. Anyone who does not love remains in death." Yes. God intends for us to grow up in a family. Relationships are the glue that keeps us connected together. You know, in talking to people outside the church, many times they'll say, "Well, I can go to heaven and I can be a Christian and not be a part of a body of believers, or I don't have to go to church," what they're saying. And that's true. They can go to heaven to do it. But they will never experience the fullness and the joys of a life of excellence as long as they isolate themselves from God's people. It's only as a result of being a part of a church or part of a body of believers and with the love that you experience as in a family-like environment, will you be able to have a life of excellence. It's important for us to have relationships with one another. In fact, make the statement, the quality of your relationship to Christ can be seen in the quality of your relationship with other believers. Wow. Wow. I'm going to say that again. I might get one amen on this one. Amen. The quality of your relationship to Christ can be seen in the quality of your relationship to other believers. Amen. Yes. Yeah. You see, that's the love other that Christ talked about in Mark, the 12th chapter. He said, "Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's impossible to love God if you don't love his children.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If you want to have excellence in relationship, we need to learn to love others as Christ loved us. What's an acceptable level of excellence in our life? Now, we charismatics sometimes get paranoid when someone tries to get us to consider changing the way we live or talk about discipline or discipleship or that type of thing. Sometimes we think, well, that's legalism. Or we say, "Oh, well, no one's perfect." Or, "What about brother so-and-so?" Or, "I thought we were a church." This is one used a lot. "I thought we were a church of love, acceptance, and forgiveness." On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say was an accepted level of excellence? Would it be 5? Would it be 7? Would it be 9? Would it be 9.9? Okay. I recently read some interesting statistics from the Heartline newsletter, and they said, and I quote, if 99.9% is good enough, then 2 million documents will be lost by the IRS this year. Hallelujah. Oh, no. I'll have to use that one again. That got good results. 22,000 checks will be deducted from the wrong bank account every 60 minutes. 1,314 phone calls will be misplaced every minute. Get this one. 12 babies will be given to the wrong parents each day. 2,488 books will be shipped with the wrong cover on them. Over 5.5 million cases of soft drinks will be shipped in the next year that will be flatter than a bad tire. 20,000 wrong drug prescriptions will be written in the next 12 months. All this is true if 99.9% is good enough. I want to challenge you this morning. Spiritual excellence is birthed in character. The Christian life isn't just a matter of creeds and convictions. It includes conduct and character. It all begins with making a commitment to a set of core values. Making a commitment to core values. When I talk about this, I'm not talking about strangling your emotional creativity in your life. I'm talking about releasing you so that you can do those things that God's called you to do with all of the joys, with all of the things involved. Our deeds must be consistent with our creeds. Does your behavior manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Now I want to share with you some practical applications that you can use to become or live the life of excellence. Ephesians 5:8 says, it is a full of life from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Excellence is shaped by the habits we develop. Excellence is shaped by the habit we develop. And here's some habits I'm going to encourage you to do. And you know what? I would be very pleased if you have a pencil to make, just jot some short notes of these, because this really is the crux of the sermon right here. Number one, have a daily quiet time with the Lord. Spend some time in prayer and reading the Word, visiting with your Heavenly Father, and allow Him to visit with you. So, if you want to make a short note, have a daily quiet time with the Lord. Put a guard on what you think on. Put a guard on what you think on. Meditate on those things that are good, pure, lovely, and a good report. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The next habit that I would encourage you to develop, speak only what Christ would speak. Let it be wholesome. Let it be uplifting. Let it be edifying. Let it be encouraging. Let it be comforting. That's what 2 Corinthians says too. Lastly, let your behavior represent the character of Christ. Let your behavior represents the character of Christ. That's dealing with your family. That's dealing with your business involvement.
Yes.
That's dealing with your political involvement. That's dealing with every situation. Let your character represent the character of Christ. Amen. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this audience today. I thank you for this group of people that have come today to hear your word. I thank you for their attentiveness. I thank you for their being concerned. I thank you, Lord, for what you have already done in their hearts and lives. I thank you, Lord, that as they go forward, that they will pursue excellence. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.